Hi, I'm Jackie Ives, your host for our video summit, Make Him Fall Madly in Love. 21 experts share tools on how you can attract love, keep it real, and make it last forever. And so I'm so pleased that you've joined us today because we have an incredible speaker today, a renowned dating and relationship coach, Nadine Piott. Nadine, welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Jackie.
So happy you're here today. How are you?
I'm fantastic here in Australia. It's a beautiful morning and it's wonderful to be able to share some great tips, you know, for dating and love and making it a lot easier for us all.
And I just love the fact that we have this internet and that we can all share in all this marvelous information and all the way to Australia, to San Diego, California. I just think that's such a wonderful opportunity that we all have, and it just brings us all so much closer.
Absolutely. It's definitely the way of the world, and I'm just thrilled that I can do this actually with you. So it's a treat, and I love it.
Great. And so before we jump into our subject, I just wanted to tell the audience a little bit more about you. And so Nadine is a renowned relationship and dating coach, as I mentioned. She's also a writer and speaker and the creator of the best-selling programs Unlock His Heart, Never Lose Him. And she also created an online community for women, HealthyYouHealthyLove.com, which is a supportive blog and forum for women wanting to find love and keep love alive. I just think that is so fabulous. I love the work that you're doing. And just tell me, what was your inspiration behind this work?
Well, I just, as I was going through my life and as I have been dating and being in relationships, I really found that a lot of people just didn't have the basics, that haven't learned the simple stuff, the foundations of a healthy relationship. And I went through my own personal stuff. And then over time, I actually became really unwell at one stage in my life. And so I went down a really powerful personal development path. And I learned some of these most amazing ways to live my life and to change my way of thinking and to relate to people. So when I understood myself better, when I had a better relationship, a more intimate relationship with me, I realized that so many people just don't have these skills. And as much as a relationship takes effort and a little bit of work at times, I'm a bit mindful of using that word work. However, relationships really can be pretty easy and when you have this stuff, because it stops the complication, it puts an end to the drama, and it makes loving and relating and intimacy so much easier. So that is my mission, is to help people just learn the basics and then everything just falls together. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's actually led into sex as well. I'm really big about the holistic side of dating and relationships, so I'm merging into the full pleasure, the pleasure of relating, connecting, communication, and then the body as well. So that's where I'm at.
Just hearing you talk about this, I can hear that in order for you to even begin to teach somebody else these skills and tools that you speak of, you'd have to have done that, like you said, work on yourself. And it is work, getting to the bottom of your issues and any things that are coming up and learning how to communicate responsibly and to become intimate with yourself first before you can become intimate with someone else. And so I'm just really applauding you for the work that you've chosen to do on yourself so that you do have the tools and skills to share with our audience and how they, too, can achieve that success in their own life. And so you've got something that you're working on right now that I'm really excited to talk about today, and that's how to navigate through the make or break period in a new relationship or when dating.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that.
Look, the dating, the initial part of a relationship, I mean, there are make or break moments in a long-term relationship. However, a lot of people, obviously, there's a huge percentage of the population who are single and they're out there dating. And in that initial period of a relationship, it is the most exciting and magnetic time of meeting someone and getting to know someone, but it's also the most scary, the most, it can be such an emotionally challenging time because it can trigger all of our issues. And sometimes it's really hard to work out, is it me, is it them, what's going on? And on top of that, we're filled with so much want and desire, and I think that humans are really not good with the unknown. And when
the ego likes the knowns, the things that are already known.
Exactly, what the crystal ball. And that's not possible when you first meet somebody. And so therefore we have this idea, this fantasy of what we would like this new situation to be. Is this person the one? All that stuff puts pressure on something that's new, and it can unravel things pretty quickly. So, and I also think that internet dating has also contributed to a lot of this unknown as well, because when we first meet someone, you may have met them online or you may have met them out or through a friend. Regardless of how you met them, a lot of people are internet dating as well. So it's making people sort of less likely to commit and give something a chance because they always think they've got more options. So that is also impacting, I think, in that first sort of 8 weeks of dating. So, and also you don't know about the person's history necessarily. Have they just broken up with someone? Have they gone through divorce? Have they gone through financial trouble? So we don't know what each other's triggers are. And so it's a blind sort of sale.
Right. And so that first 8 weeks is the most critical. And it's so just saying that online dating is a contributing factor, do you think that just puts more pressure because there is so much more unknown? You don't know their history, like you said, where they came from. Sometimes you'll meet somebody and they live in the same town and you have the same friends and so on. But now it's just so different with the online dating. And so this is a really valuable subject. How does someone know when they've hit those triggers, or what can you do to cause the eruption or things to kind of fall out in those first 8 weeks?
Well, a lot of the things that happen is the biggest challenge for a lot of women is that whole thing. It started off like this, and he was so attentive, and it felt really good. And then there might be a moment where the consistency or the energy starts to shift a little bit with somebody. And the thing is that it's not just gender specific. Women also do this as well. Women can pull away from men too. It's just that when it's happening to us, we think it's a whole lot of things, and it can be, we often personalize it. And when we personalize someone's slight change in behavior, now, this is not to say that things don't come up. I mean, the guy could still be very consistent with you, and still you can have things come up. However, it is the sort of most documented or the most spoken about. Oh my God, he's pulled away, and what does it mean, and what do I do? And so, if this is happening, if this is something that, for example, if the ladies are listening to this and they've met someone new, and there seems to be a bit of inconsistency, people are just working each other out, and people are dealing with their own fears, their own insecurities. People do judge, and it doesn't mean that someone's lost interest because they've slightly pulled away. It could mean that something has happened in their life and they don't know if they want to share it with you. It could mean that they are a little bit uncertain, but it doesn't mean that they're not interested. They're just trying to work out where they're at. It could mean that they absolutely adore you and they're worried if they're enough for you. So there's so many reasons why someone does, and that is why it's the critical time not to be reactive. And to be, so there's a thing I call being reactive and proactive. And so
I love that. Yeah.
So a lot of people become reactive to their emotions. Now, that doesn't mean that they, you know, go crazy being reactive, meaning they're reacting to their insecurities, to their fears, to the unknown and so forth. And that behavior can be different for every person. So the fact is to know what your triggers are, what your reactions are, to be then more proactive for you so that you can make sure that you don't break something that could actually have some serious, fantastic love legs. So,
wow, that's fantastic. So if you know what your triggers are, and you're aware of your issues, when you go into a new relationship, you can observe those. So when you're feeling triggered or you're feeling like reacting, you can, if you've done this work that you do, recognize that it's your issues, that it's your emotions, not necessarily project that onto the relationship, and just kind of hold that space there in that critical time and be able to walk through that and not, like you say, overreact and take it so personal that you end up sabotaging something that could be quite lovely.
Absolutely. And look, I personally, the reason why I love this topic at the moment is I actually recently went through this as well. Now, it's not the first time I've gone through this, and it's also something that I've been working with women around this topic for a long time, but I had to live it myself recently, so I had to put into practice all of the things that I talk about, and it was a really challenging time for me, but it was also a really amazing time, and I got to rediscover and look at some of my own insecurities and the way that I was looking at things. And so for some women, when there's a shift in attention or affection or whatever it is, what is that? What could be your trigger? It could be that you feel like it's nothing ever works for you. It could be that you question yourself, your body, your physicality. You could question whether you're good enough for somebody. I mean, everyone's got their. A lot of people probably have similar things, but everyone does have a different way of looking at things. And or maybe you think you're too much for a guy. You know, no guy's ever going to want you because you're too something, or there's a whole, you know, we all have our unique things, and so we need to really tap into that and know what we need to work on and the stuff that we can just let slide and know that it's actually just our own stuff running and it has nothing to do with the situation, and how not to drag that into it.
Do you have a system in place? You said you just recently went through this and were able to just use your own work on yourself. Do you have how do you recognize when you're being triggered or your issue has been touched on, and how do you walk through that knowing that that's going on and simultaneously you're holding the space for this person?
Once again, you just don't know what's going on in someone else's life.
Yeah.
And for some women, you know, I hear about women sending men messages like, you know, have you changed your mind about me? I really want to see you. What's wrong? You know, not to say that saying those things isn't okay. It's just that you're not even asking the question of how they are, or you're not giving the guy some space to come back to you. Instead, you're making it all about you. And so now if this person is hot and cold with you all the time, and this is a pattern that's been going on for a long time, I would absolutely address it, because you know, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. But if it's like a one-off and it's a random and that person, you don't really know what's going on, then give that person some space. Live your own life. The most important thing, as this is not just female-specific, it's all human beings. We have to have our own lives as well. And we also have to have self-belief. And if that person, if we felt there was a genuine connection and it felt really good, and there's no real reason why it should change, then we need to, I call it my three W's. I call it.
Oh, good.
It's remaining whole. So this is being 100, believing in yourself, remaining whole, that you're a complete human being, that you don't need anybody else to complete you, and that you remain 100% connected to yourself. So remaining whole, I'm 100% worthy at all times. I'm not less or more. Whether this guy shows me the same attention as he did last week or whatever it is. And even whether the guy wants to be with you or not, you are 100% whole. So believing in that wholeness. The other thing is remaining warm. As soon as you start throwing your weight around and throwing attitude and drama around, then you're giving in to your triggers. So it's really important to remain warm, So warm and loving, it doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean that you don't discuss things with him. It doesn't mean that there aren't things to work out. It just means that you remain warm in the process and that you're not blaming or making someone wrong or obviously feeling disempowered because you're taking everything personal. The third one is withstanding. So just being that, you know, the going with the tide and you know, just not allowing yourself to be battered around by the waves and just remaining steady, not doing anything drastic, not being reactive, being proactive. So the three W's, if you can keep coming back to those, then you will be able to ride through it. And what will happen once you're through that time, then it will just evolve and it will develop and it will be a lot easier for you.
Yes, that wisdom is just so valuable, and what a great skill. I think that as you have, you can develop that, right, in yourself and be able to, the three W's, observe what's going on, know what your triggers are, and then be able to just stand in your own power and not give in to needing to know. Like you said, it just involves, sounds like a lot of trust to what you're saying in yourself and just knowing your own self-worth. And how do you suggest a woman or a man, if they're having low self-worth, they may be doing those emails or those reactions where they're like, I haven't heard from you, and things that are sabotaging, what can that person who's making those choices do to begin to bolster up their own self-worth so they don't sabotage?
Self-worth is such a big topic, and it would be fantastic to say, okay, right now you feel worthy and 100% amazing no matter what's going on in your life. I mean, no matter how evolved we are, it doesn't mean that we don't go through challenging times. But the more connected we are to our worth, the easier it gets.
It's so true. And just knowing what that is, and by following your three W's, that's the beginning of it. It's just that right there, there's three things you can do right away in a relationship to stand in your own power.
That's right. And what happens a lot of the time with women is we lose our power when we start rating ourselves. I'm less, I'm more, he hasn't called today, or thinking less of me. And we do this rating. It's exhausting. And so one of the things is that I do this with like a jar of sparkles. Here's my glass. And I say to, I've actually worked quite a lot with children. And when I was working with kids, I had to think, oh, how can I explain self-worth to a child? And what I was finding was that we are very, our self-worth stuff and our issues around our worth, we go into child. We're actually quite immature. And in that moment when we're really feeling less than, or we're questioning our worth. So I started using this with adults. So I said, okay, so when we're born, you know, when our parents had us, did they say, oh, I won't love, you know, Nadine or Jackie or whoever, Cindy or Annie, unless she can walk and talk? Now, that's ridiculous. You adore and love that child the minute it comes into the world. And so as we grow older, what happens is, so basically we're born with a full jar of sparkle, like a full body of sparkle. We're 100%, you know, we're born 100% worthy. And so if for example, if you're in a family where creativity is really valued, but, you know, being sort of book savvy is not, or the opposite, or really sporty. Like I had a client that I worked with, and all the kids were very sporty, and one girl was really creative, and she felt like she was the odd one out and that she was less than within that family environment. It could have been very different. She was born into another family. And so in her mind, being different was like someone had put their hand into her jar of sparkle and taken something away from her. And so whenever no one can access our worth. We are the keepers of our worth. And in actual fact, we can't take anything away from ourselves. We are born innately worthy. So I don't know if this is sort of making sense, Jackie.
No, it absolutely is. I love that you're talking about your inner child and actually knowing that what your childhood traumas or experiences were, they will actually give you the insights into why you're making the choices you're making today. So it makes perfect sense. I love how you're articulating it, and I know our audience will understand that as well. And so when you talk about values, it absolutely has to do with your belief systems that were created when you're a child. And a perfect example you used is being born into a family of achievers and maybe, you know, right-brained and then you're left-brained. And so it's like you grow up thinking that you should be like them when, in fact, you're beautiful just the way you are. And so you take that into your relationship and you project that onto your partner. And then you wonder why all these things happen.
Exactly, and it's like, it really is this whole rate. We live in a culture where they're teaching us to rate ourselves to others so we consume and we buy and all this kind of stuff, and we get whatever we do to our bodies and our faces, and, you know, it's okay to want to be the best, you know, and to look great, and, like, I mean, look, I've got makeup on, and I, you know, I like to wear certain things, but at the end of the day, that doesn't make me less or more. And so the most important thing is that no one can take, you're born with that full jar of sparkle, that you are you and you're 100% that, and no one can take, that's a perception in your mind, that you are less or more based on all these things, and you're not less whether some guy likes you or he likes your girlfriend. I remember when I was younger, I never thought that I was attractive. I always thought that I would never be the kind of girl that guys liked. And as I became more and more confident, I remember I had this moment in my life where I thought, what am I doing? Why am I rating myself? Why am I keep comparing myself to other girls and what they look like and what they're like? And I actually did have guys who liked me, but they were not necessarily the ones I liked at the time, although always a little bit older because I was always quite mature for my age. So at that time in my life, when I was 13 or 14, I had a certain experience that was quite I was devastated. So, and then it changed as I got older, but I just decided that I wasn't going to buy into the stuff that doesn't matter in this world, and that I would become the best person I could be, and I would embrace who I was. So I know it sounds a bit fluffy, but everyone's got to do that, and it does drastically change your life and how you relate with men and how you relate with anybody, all your relationships.
Right, and so that's a wonderful story and a truism for probably most people, especially in the adolescent years when we're all so sensitive, and by our environment and other factors, especially the culture that we live in, like you mentioned, the materialism and the media and all the glitz and glam and the pressure to be more and to have more, and just kind of succumbing to that unless you have that value system in place. And I know the work that you're doing can teach others how to not only create a high value for themselves, but give them the tools to have a healthy relationship. And so I was just looking over your free gift that you're offering for our audience today, and I just wanted to know a little bit more about it. You had 16 words and phrases that poison attraction and love and commitment. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So my free gift is actually called Word Poison, and it's a selection of words and phrases that a lot of the time we don't even realize that we're saying and that we're doing that can really off-put or can create, you know, blocks in a relationship and relating and when communicating. So there's just a list, and it's like a 10-page report of a snapshot of all the things that, just if you slightly change your dialogue a little bit and avoid using certain phrases and words, some of the typical ones are in there, and then some other ones that you probably don't even normally think about. It's amazing. I mean, communication is such a huge part of a relationship. And, you know, often when we're under pressure or we're emotional, we often aren't really aware of what's running for us and the things that we say. So if we can have some awareness, and I actually am a big believer in role-playing sometimes. So if you know that you're... So, for example, this links actually very much into the first 8 weeks of dating and relating to somebody, because it's so easy to want to say or send that message when you're feeling insecure. But if you're doing the 3 W's, you won't buy into that, and sort of that links into the gift of some things that you can just be mindful about when you're relating and communicating with a man.
Yeah, I can see how that would be. It's just an incredible tool because there are things that I can say without really being unconsciously and not even aware of how that could trigger a man, a friend, a girlfriend, or anybody around me if I'm not conscious of how I'm communicating with others. And so I think this list is going to be very valuable. And I know a lot of people just aren't conscious of what they're saying, and also just the negative dialoguing that we can do, like if you're not feeling good about yourself, just even verbalizing that and just catching our ability to catch ourselves and having those phrases is going to be really helpful, because sometimes we don't even know what they are that are sabotaging us. We're just saying them out of habit. We've just been saying them for years. And just to bring that to the surface and become more aware of it, if that's a really fabulous gift. It's a great, I love what you called it, the words that poison or phrases that poison, and it's just so true. And communication is just that, it's the biggest part of any balanced, healthy relationship. Can you share a little bit about just your communication skills and conscious listening and anything like that?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the computer. We might have to have it.
Yeah, I was just loving how you were talking about communication and how important it is in the relationship, if not the most important things, and just maybe give a couple tips on just things that you can do right now to communicate in a more healthy way, or just share something about communication.
Okay, so with one of the things that most people do is when they're feeling anxious, they want to get rid of that feeling.
Okay.
So when we're feeling anxious, that's normally when we do things or say things that we become reactive. So what happens then is that you might send a message or you might try to communicate with someone in a certain way to relieve yourself, this is a really important point, of the anxiety. And then what happens as a result of that, because it came from fear and it came from insecurity, then you end up in another lot of anxiety. And then that anxiety fuels you again to do something to get out of it because you don't want to feel it. And then you have this relief for a little bit of time and then you're back into it again. So we want to break that cycle. So if you want to break that cycle, you need to start A, communicating with yourself differently. Start understanding what's really running for you, what's real and what's not. And you may need some help with that. Speak to a friend who knows you really well, who's honest with you, or obviously see a professional. But then looking at how you can change the way that you're communicating. Because if what you've been doing and you know that you're reactive and then you know that you act on anxiety, then change it. Try something different. So...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go.
I love that you said that about communicating and with yourself. It's like that's where it needs to begin, right? Because you need to just notice your triggers and notice how it's showing up in your body and just be tuned into yourself enough to realize when you're vibrating a negative belief or something's going through your mind over and over that causes you to want to act on it, to take action. Instead of taking that action, you're suggesting to just observe it and to just look at it and possibly see where it's coming from, follow it to its source so that you can heal it and shift out of that way of being so that you don't, like you say, take that effort and write that email and try to relieve that anxiety, and then just creates, it's like you said, a pattern that snowballs into something so much bigger. And I can completely relate to that. And that's exactly what does happen. And probably the beginning of the end in that first 8 weeks of a relationship where that's most likely to go on.
That's right. And one of the things that a lot of us do is that we can assume so many things. Assumptions, obviously quite dangerous when you're getting to know somebody. And so if you are communicating with someone, share it from your perspective. If the number one tip I can give you with communication right now is I'm feeling my perspective is this. It's not this is how it is. So if there is something going on and you don't, because we don't really know what the other person's thinking or feeling until we ask them. We can only know how we're feeling and how we perceive something. So that's really, really important when you're communicating with someone, that you don't tell them what they're thinking. You tell them what you're feeling and how you're thinking, and you know that it may not be accurate. I say that. I say, I don't know if this is accurate, but my perspective or how I'm seeing it is like this. How are you feeling about it? And another thing that I find, that if you do need to discuss something, invite someone into a conversation. Say, hey, something's been on my mind and I'd love to talk about it. I'd love to share something with you, and are you open to talking about it? That allows someone to want to be in the conversation versus feeling like something's being forced upon them. And most often the person will say, sure. And then you don't go into blame or you don't go into fear. Just say, this is how I'm feeling. And you can even say, I'm feeling fearful, but make it a healthy conversation, not something that's riddled with, you're doing this and it must mean that. You don't know that.
Well, so, absolutely incredible just that you now brought up perception, because that's really it in a nutshell. It's just all of our perceptions are so different. And if we're not able to really listen first of all, hear our own, what's going on in our own mind, but not able to consciously listen to our partner or our friends, then we're already making perceptions and judgments and, like you said, blame. And it just takes us out of the relationship, and then we're not relating anymore. And there's not a relationship. And so those are fabulous words of wisdom that you're sharing with us about perception. I just think that your free gift is going to give our audience immediate tools on those phrases and words that can be poisonous in a relationship. And so I'm going to be taking a look at that. Thank you for offering that today. And I've just so enjoyed our conversation. You have so much wisdom, and I know you're a fabulous coach, and I'm just thrilled to have you on this summit, and look forward to talking with you more down the road. You want to add anything else?
No, Jackie, it's just been fantastic. I love sharing, and I'm just pleased to be part of your summit, and it's been wonderful. So thank you for having me, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Oh, that's great. So it's my pleasure to have you, Nadine Piat, and you can get her contact information in the email that's gone out to watch this this summit series of Make Him Fall Madly in Love, Discover Keys, How to Attract Love, Keep It Real, and Make It Last Forever. I'm your host, Jackie Ives, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.